Welcome to the Music Therapy Roundtable Podcast. We are your hosts, Rachel Rambach,
Michelle Erfer,
and Kimberly Senna Moore.
We are three board-certified music therapists who are passionate about our work and feel we have something to say. Join us each month as we share stories, tips, and ideas about music therapy and working as a music therapist. Thank you for joining us. In episode 44 of this podcast, we discussed how to handle professional downtime, that is, when personal obligations and situations make it necessary for our work to take a back seat. But once that downtime comes to an end, how do we go about re-entering the working world as music therapists? In episode 47 of the Music Therapy Roundtable podcast, we share our experiences with returning to work after professional downtimes and share our tips for those of you who might find yourself in the same position. So I know we talked about our own professional downtimes a few episodes ago, but let's kind of recap and talk about what it was like for us to return to work and what that has looked like for each of us.
Well, my professional downtimes were all baby related and having a maternity leave. And then the re-entry looked different both times. So with my first child, I ended up just kind of putting a hold on my clinical practice. I took a couple of months off. So he was born in early November. I took 2 months off, worked great for the holidays. I really like having a November baby. Just really nice. And then in January, I kind of took the whole month. Yeah, that's a little tangential. Took the whole month to re-enter. And so I started slowly so that by the end of the month, I was at kind of, you know, pre-baby workload. So I started, you know, one client 1 week, added another client the next, started my church gig the next week. So it was a slow transition back. With my second child, by then, I had a couple music therapists working for me. And so they covered my client load while I was on maternity leave. And when I came back, I kept them on. And so I took over a couple of clients, but then my role was kind of split between some caseload and some administration. And then the other thing that was different was that I never really went away during my maternity leave because I still had to pay them, you know, and I still had to troubleshoot some things. So some of the administrative stuff that needed to happen, I still had to be in touch with that. So they were both different, but I was ready to go back to work. That's the other thing too. I think some people, and you know, it depends on your personality and your situation, but some people just, you know, they aren't ready to, and they don't want to, and they want to spend time at home. And then I was ready to go back to work. So that was my own experience.
Nice. What about you, Michelle?
Well, my past downtimes that I had talked about in that last podcast were as a result of like moving to a new location. And so the downtime was because I was looking for a job and that whole searching process. And then my most recent downtime has been because of the birth of my son, Eddie, which if you follow me on Facebook, everyone knows about. So, but in both cases, when it comes back to returning to work, it's similar to Kim in that it always has started gradually for me. You know, when it was because of a move, that downtime, I had to start a private practice. So it took me a while to have for my caseload to grow. So that sort of eased me back into clinical work. And right now, clinically, I'm working very minimally, and for our local hospice, like I was one patient who I've been with forever, and I'm choosing to keep my clinical work at a very minimal volume because I want to stay home with Kim, or with my baby, and Kim if she wants, but Kim, like,
I'll come over.
Kim, you were just saying, like, you know, there's some people that don't want to, and like, I am over here raising my hands, like, I don't want.
So I was thinking of you when I was like, I bet Michelle's going to bring it up.
Yeah. I just didn't want to I want to be with him. That's just what I want to do. And so that's what I'm going to do. So like the end, there's no, I don't have to justify it. I just don't want to.
No,
but also, you know, one thing, you know, it's just, that's how I feel. But, you know, I think another thing is I kind of see like two sides to the music therapist, or at least me to this music therapist. I have a clinical output, and then there's all the blogging and this around the podcast, Music Therapy Pro. There's, and now I'm writing this networking workbook. You know, I see a clinical side to what, to my profession, but my personal career. And then there's this, I don't know what to call it, like a output that's not clinical part of me too. And even though I'm not, I'm definitely not going back to work, I am still doing work, and it's that other, it's that non-clinical stuff. It's not administrative either, but so I feel like I'm still doing that, and I want to do that. So that's, I just wanted to focus on that part too. That's another reason why I wanted to not go back to work, because I can't do both of them. There's just too much and so many hours in a day. So that's, I don't know. And, that's my story.
And Michelle, but, I got to say, I totally get what you say about, you know, the non-clinical and then the other kind of output. And I've found that, you know, those surveys you get, an email and things like that, you know, it's a master's student or even the AMTA survey. And a lot of them will ask questions about, you know, how many clients do you see? You know, what's your job title? How many clients do you see? How often do you provide music therapy services, et cetera? Mm-hmm. And right now, I mean, my whole professional life is about music therapy, and none of it is clinical right now.
Right.
And it's really hard to fill out those surveys. It's like, well, yeah, I'm clicking that I'm not, you know, seeing anybody, or, you know, it's 0 hours a week, but I'm still doing a lot of music therapy work. You know, it's just not the clinical work. It's other aspects. So that's, again, a total side note, but I get what you're saying, because you're still a music therapist.
Yeah.
And yeah. You know, you are still doing some clinical work, and I hope and plan to, on some level, still do some clinical work, because I do think that it's important. It's just not part of what I'm able to do right now. But anyway, that's a little tangential. I'm liking that word this morning.
Yes, you are.
It's fitting. For many of our podcasts, but Rachel, actually.
You're in the middle now of your return to work, or you are kind of have just done it.
Yeah.
So how about, has it been for you?
Well, I've been back to work for about a month now. And I'm at the opposite end. So whereas both of you took a gradual approach, I did the all or nothing approach. So I went from not working for 3 months after my son was born, and it worked out perfectly timing wise, because my work is based on a school year schedule. So I finished my spring session at the end of May. My son was born on June 8th, and then I returned to work on September 3rd. So I was able to take off the whole summer, which was wonderful. And then on September 3rd, I started completely full force with, I think I have 48 students that I see on a weekly basis.
Wow.
Yeah. So there was no easing back in whatsoever.
No.
And then on top of that, I also started my early childhood music class that same week. So it was a little overwhelming, to say the least, but
I was going to say, how have you been? I mean, I know it's only been a month, and you might still be kind of trying to adjust to it all.
Yeah, it has been a big adjustment. I do have to say that the way that my schedule is set up, so that I'm home with my baby all day long, and then I go back to work, or I go to work in the afternoons at 3. So it's nice, you know, that I have the day to kind of relax and sort of work up to being ready for that onslaught of students at 3 o'clock. But it is hard, because it's, you know, having a baby all day long and, you know, doing everything to take care of him is not easy always. It can be exhausting. So then on top of that, to see, you know, 8 or 9 students a day, has been an adjustment. But
it's a lot.
It is a lot. and I'm exhausted by the end of the day, but honestly, I love my work so much and I get so much out of seeing my students that it's been kind of a natural return. And it's very my schedule now is very similar to what it was in the spring. So I'm seeing mostly the same students again. So it's very familiar, which helps. It's been interesting to say the least.
Yeah.
But I think things are going well. And, you know, the fact that I work at home, that my studio is at home, so I don't have to commute anywhere. And my baby's still here while I'm working. He's either with his grandma or with our sitter. That makes it easier.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a good transition. I mean, I was definitely nervous, but I'm happy with how things are going so far.
Yeah. Well, and it sounds like you kind of built in, you were talking about the familiarity and you built in some familiar routines.
Right. And that was important to me. I didn't want to come back to a completely, you know, reconfigured situation, you know, where I was, you know,
exactly
starting a new class or starting a bunch of new students. I did take on a few new students this year, but they were students who I had met last year and, you know, had gotten to know a little bit so that it wasn't completely new to me.
Right.
You know, and I have to say that I basically put myself in this work situation for this very reason. So I left my school job a few years ago knowing that once I had a baby, I wanted my work life to look like this. You know, I wanted to be able to spend all day with my baby, but yet be able to work full time also. So, you know, I had a couple of years to adjust and to anticipate for this. And obviously, you know, you can't fully anticipate having a baby and how that's going to change your life.
Yep.
You know, that's laughable, right? But I did have that in mind, which I think helped. And, you know, I work with families. I work with moms who know exactly what I'm going through, and they are so, so supportive. And just everybody has been so wonderful about working around my schedule and understanding that, yeah, I'm a little sleep deprived and I'm a little exhausted, but that's definitely helped to have such understanding clients.
Yeah. Yeah. And were you ready to go back to work?
Honestly, I was. I was really ready.
Yes.
Yeah. I didn't think I was going to be. You know, like at the beginning of the summer, I kept thinking, oh my gosh, how am I going to leave this precious child for like, you know, more than an hour at a time? I don't think I'm going to be able to do it. But then like the end of July rolls around and I have this one student who she was singing in a wedding and her dad said, you know, do you think you could work with her on a weekly basis, you know, to get this song ready? And I said, yes, please. Yes. And it felt so good just having that one student, you know, and it wasn't even a music therapy student. It was a voice student who I could see, you know, once a week and I could use my brain and I could use my skills and just be a professional as opposed to being a mom, you know, 24/7. And just to be able to say, okay, yeah, I still know what I'm doing. I can still, you know.
I still got it.
I still got it. Yeah, exactly. That was kind of my feeling after that first lesson. I was like, okay, I haven't lost my touch. I can still do this. So yeah, by the end of August, it was like, okay, I'm ready for this for sure. Yeah. So, and you know, there's always part of you that's like nervous about leaving your baby and about going back into the working world when you've been away. And that actually leads us into our next question. So the things that you're most apprehensive about after taking that professional downtime. And for me, it was honestly just being away from my baby, you know, and not to say that I wasn't 100%, you know, trusting of the grandmas and the sitters and knowing that he would be in wonderful hands because of course he is, but I had never been away from him for that period of time on a daily basis. And so for me, that was the big thing, you know, on top of wondering if you do lose some of that from being away and if you lose your touch. So those two things were, were the most nerve-wracking for me. What about you two?
Actually, the one you hit on, the one that was I was most apprehensive about, which is, you know, can I still do this? Mm-hmm. Do I still have the skills? You know, I do. Am I too out of practice? You know,
yeah, it's scary.
It is. Yeah, it is scary. And then, you know, obviously I was, because I, you know, went back and there were some things, you know, it did take me a couple of weeks, because there were some things that were just a little rusty, but mm-hmm. that was probably what I was most apprehensive about. Yeah.
Yeah. Just even session planning for me, like, oh mm-hmm. my gosh, I haven't done this in so long.
Exactly.
You know, am I going to be as effective of a therapist as I have, right. have been in the past?
And the documentation, can right. I still oh write gosh. Clinically? Can
I? Yes. Yeah. And can I find yeah. hours in the day to do that? That's my problem.
Right.
You know, once the day is over and it's like, oh, I still have to do all of my session notes. Okay.
But I do, well, this also makes me wonder, you know, would the apprehensiveness, well, you know, would what made us apprehensive, would that be different based on, say, how our kids were doing? Yeah. So if we had a kid who maybe was premature and had some other medical needs, I bet there would be other things we'd be more apprehensive about than, am I still going to be, you know, an effective therapist?
Yeah. I mean, there are so many factors, you know, when it comes to, mm-hmm. especially if the reason for your downtime was having a baby. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That definitely affects, I think, right. how ready we are to return back to work.
But now I want to hear what Michelle is apprehensive about, because you've had now the experience of having a baby, but also for non-baby reasons. I mean, most of what Rachel and I are talking about are from our experiences, which is downtime due to maternity leave. But Michelle, you've had other types of downtime. So what did that change what you right. were apprehensive about?
Yeah, when I went back to work, like because of the job, because I didn't have a job, you know, I moved. Didn't have a job and it took a while to get one. It, in some ways I was apprehensive, in some ways I wasn't. When I was building the private practice, so going back to work, I was, what you all said, I was worried I would be rusty, because I hadn't been working for probably at least 6 months. It was so long ago now, I'm not really sure how long I was off, but at least 6 months, maybe more like eight, almost a year, really. So I was worried that I was rusty, but then also the kind of clients that I was getting were people who I was qualified to see, but like I started working with kids with delays, but my experience before then had always been with adults diagnosed with delays in a residential setting. So I was doing a whole new population. So I was feeling, so not only was I dealing with everything that comes along with being your own boss, and working again after having a pretty significant break, but then this new population. So I was like in a world of everything new. And so I was apprehensive about everything, I guess you can say. And then also at that time I, got a job at a hospital part-time with their music therapy department. And I had never worked in a hospital at all before working with them, which they knew, and they said they'd train me, and it all worked out great, but it was a lot of new things all at one time. And so, I think doing a bunch of new things at one time, we do that. We switch populations as music therapists. That can happen. But then on top of it, of having a big break, it was a lot. But I think the fact that I had a good support system, and you know, my boss in the job that I had where I had a boss trained me and was supportive. And then so that also helped me when I was in my private practice hat to at least have not so much pressure on myself. So it was a bunch of everything. But part of that, I think, is just what happens when you're a business owner. Like, there's so much stress involved in being a business owner, which is why I don't really do it anymore, because it's just a lot, you know, it's a lot of new things. So I was really apprehensive about everything. It's funny because with the baby stuff, like, that's the thing. I think because I went through that phase of in my life of having that new things, those new things, it has helped me in all future anything that I've done that was new, because I can look back at that experience and say, well, if I got through that, I can do anything. So, especially in music therapy work, like, well, I was able to teach myself how to find the resources to help me with this new population back then. So I can definitely figure it out for this new challenge ahead of me. It really helped me grow personally and professionally.
Yeah, that's true. I like those experiences that you can look back on and say, hey, if I can do this, then I can do anything.
Yeah. And like nothing, you don't sweat it anymore.
Right.
Because you had it bad back then.
And most of the time, you know, we work ourselves up about things that in the end didn't really necessitate that worry, you know? So, and right. I think for me, that was part of what I was feeling, you know, nervous about. I didn't even end up really needing to be nervous about it. So.
Well, and sometimes it's that it is new and novel and it's unknown territory. Mm-hmm. So I completely agree. The other thing that I sometimes tell myself if I don't have those experiences is, oh, well, other people have done it. I can do it too. You know, if other people figured it out, I got the resources. I can do it.
Yeah, that is true.
But yeah, sometimes we do need that little, you know, positive self-talk.
Yes.
To keep us going.
Especially when you're met with challenges that you didn't foresee and that you didn't worry about, you know, before returning to work. So what kinds of things did you face that were kind of surprise challenges?
So I think, go ahead, Michelle.
Oh, well, I was going to say, you know, for right now for me, I'm working, four-time, I have one client and so I see him and then I have meetings that involve him. So that comes down to like once a week, basically. And sometimes that schedule gets jumbled up, and I'm lucky that my husband can take care of him because he can do some work at home. But that has been the challenge of just figuring out the childcare. And even though we know ahead of time when it's going to be, it still changes a little bit. So figuring that out and having that communication between me and Ed, my husband, to figure it out has been the challenging thing. But now that we've done it for a couple months, we're starting to finally go on autopilot with all of it and understanding. And then also scheduling these to tape these podcasts, because that's work too, that, I consider this working, my fun job, you know. But so just figuring out the schedule, I have to share my schedule with someone else to take care of little Eddie. So that's been the challenge for me.
Yeah. So this idea of unforeseen challenges is interesting, because I don't remember one big unforeseen challenge, because there are just so many little things. So maybe that's the unforeseen part for me is how many little things there are to figure out. And I think figuring out childcare is one of the most stressful things. I mean, once that's figured out, okay, everything is fine. But it's figuring out that, you know, financially and logistically, and that is just, I have to do that now moving to Miami, and I'm already getting willies.
I think the challenges have also been like my just having, what am I trying to say? I think that the challenge has been me just having an expectation. Like, I shouldn't have had expectations. Like, I thought that since I was going to be staying home and staying with my baby and really only doing something once a week, I thought that would make things easier because it's just once a week. But it didn't at all, you know. And I'm thinking, well, I have friends like you guys, you know, you have to really figure it out. I just have to do this once a week. No, it still is hard. And I think the fact that I just even in my head, you know, had an expectation, it just kind of made it harder because it didn't work out that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I didn't think it was going to be hard either, because we've got my mom, my mother-in-law, and then a sitter on one day of the week. But all of these people have lives as well and jobs. So, you know, there are days that they're not available. And in those situations, it's like, what do we do? One of us has to not work so that, you know, we mm-hmm. can have the baby covered. And, you know, in most cases, my husband is wonderful about taking time off because, you know, he's not self-employed. So if he's not working, you know, he's still getting paid. Whereas for me, if I'm not working, I'm not getting paid.
Right.
So he's been really good about that. But yeah, it is stressful. And the other big thing for me that was really an unforeseen challenge was not the clinical work, but all of the other work that I do. Like Michelle was talking about the non-clinical side of music therapy, and Kimberly, you too. You know, like the blogging and editing the podcasts and all of those other things, writing the songs, doing the session plans. Those are the things that I'm really struggling with because I just can't find enough hours in the day. You know, and, mm-hmm. and I thought, oh, okay, you know, I'll have all of this time during the day when the baby's asleep and when he's playing quietly by himself on his playmat. And, you know,
yeah,
I'm finding myself now when he's taking a nap, you know, ooh, I can do a load of laundry, or I can vacuum the living room, or, you know, I can do this and that. And the last thing that, you know, I'm going to jump up to do is use my brain and write a blog post, you know. So I'm finding it really difficult to do all those other things, which, you know, I love so much and are such a big part of my work. And I'm really having a hard time with that because I've always been, you know, so good about having all of this output and, you know, putting all of these resources out there. And I have people that are paying for them on a weekly basis and a monthly basis. So I have a responsibility to be doing these things. But at the same time, it's like, how do I find the hours in the day for it? And,
yeah,
you know, and I'm finding some time at night. But, you know, even then, it's like I have to do my session notes. I have to, you know, do things that didn't get done around the house during the day. So that's definitely, for me, the biggest challenge. And I think it's something that I'll always struggle with from now on. Oh, and I'm definitely looking at my past life and thinking, how could I have ever said that I was too busy and, you know, complained, especially to other moms, like, oh, I'm so busy, I can't get everything done. Like, what was I thinking? I'm so angry with myself.
The aha moment I had, because I remember, again, pre-kids, I had a friend who was a mom, and I remember thinking, God, how hard is it to return a call, to return a phone call?
Yeah, yes.
I get it now. I am the worst. I don't even like listening to voicemails.
Oh, me neither.
Like, just please email me or text me.
It stresses me out. When my phone rings, I get so stressed. Yeah. I'm like, I cannot talk right now. I will not be able to talk all day today or tomorrow. Oh my gosh, I'm so with you.
Yeah. But so that was my like, oh, I get it now. Okay.
Right. Well, just I have to apologize to you, Kimberly, and to all my other mom friends out there who are listening. For any of you who I ever said that I was busy and you have kids, I am really sorry because I did not know the meaning of busy before I had a child.
Oh, you were still busy then, though. It's just different. You were still busy. Cut your pre-baby self a break.
I'm trying, but man.
I will say, because I think the challenges you're talking about, Rachel, I have certainly been there. And a couple of things that I'll say just based on my experience since my kids are a little older, it does change. All right. So, you know, you may not have the same, you know, output as you did pre-baby, but your baby's going to change and grow. And so that eventually will get easier. That I can promise you. And the other, or at least, you know, based on my experience, it has gotten easier. The other, you were talking about what you do during nap time.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually didn't use nap time for the household chores. I used nap time to work. I was like, okay, this is my hour and a half block where I can sit down and write an email, or I can sit down, at least after my second baby, and write a blog post, because I didn't start blogging until after she was born.
Right. Well, I need to move myself in that direction because I'm just driving myself crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
but it's also like letting go of some things. You know, right. Sell the house is a mess. All right, okay.
And for me, that's been the hardest part. And you know, mm-hmm. even from the day that he was born, that was the biggest thing that everybody said: let it go, let it go, let the laundry go. Don't worry about cleaning. But for me, I'm one of those people that needs my space to be very neat and very clean in order to feel like I'm at peace and that I can, you know, use my brain effectively. Otherwise, I'll just be focused on, ooh, there's dog hair over there. You know, I need to get this laundry basket out of the way. And so I'm really trying to be better about that and, you know, to use that time for me more than just, you know, making sure that the house is spotless. So that's a work in progress.
We're all a work in progress.
I know.
We are all a work in progress.
It'll always be that way, I'm sure.
I hope so, because I don't know. What fun would it be otherwise, right?
Exactly.
What's the point if we can't change?
Right.
Okay. So we've spent a good chunk of time now talking about the hard stuff. What about any positives that kind of surprised you?
Well, for myself, it really surprised me how much I enjoy music therapy and need to stay with it. Like it's like as a field, like as a career, like I just dig it and it's my thing, you know? And even if I can't, I don't want to do it full time, but you know, clinically, but you know, I need to do it. I need to be in there somehow. And that's why I'm so glad I started blogging. And truthfully, if I had never started blogging, I probably would have started now. Just because
like I did.
I need to have my hands in it, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think for me, having a baby and returning to work, I'm actually a better therapist because of being a mom. And I'm sure that, you know, other therapists, moms have said this before, but I don't know. There's something about having a child and being around a child, you know, on a daily basis that just makes you more in tune with your clients. And I don't know. I just see them in a different light now and just feel like I'm so much more effective, which is really the opposite of what, you know, I was nervous about not being as effective of a therapist. And I don't know if it's like maternal instinct kicking in or what the deal is, but I just feel like I'm like so much more present in the sessions and I'm so much more aware of my clients' reaction and how they're responding to therapy. I don't know. It's really magical, to be honest.
I am nodding through everything that you are saying.
Really? Okay.
Oh, yeah. I completely agree. And Michelle, I heard you say something about the perspective change.
Yeah.
I totally agree. that is what I said. it does because it's a big, you know, whether it's motherhood or for, you know, for whatever reason, I can't, well, and I wonder, wow, this is like the little academic mind now thinking I'm in research mode. You know, when you have these downtimes, I would guess that most of the time there's some sort of huge shift happenings. It's a growth period, whether it's becoming a parent, whether it's for, you know, a medical reason or having to take care of a sick loved one or whatever, that you have to take a break because you have to deal with this growth experience, positive or negative. And so, you know, if that's the case, then theoretically it would change you and it would change your perspective and it would change who you are. And, I always felt like I felt like on some level I understood my clients better because of what I had gone through in this journey to become a mother, you know, and certainly understood their families better, you know, like the parents of the clients and things like that.
Yes, absolutely.
So I completely agree that becoming a mother has made me a better therapist. And I think being a music therapist makes me a better mother too. Although sometimes I get really mad at myself because I don't have nearly the same patience with my children as I do with my clients. I know this. I know this on an intellectual level. And by golly, I just get so mad and impatient with my kids. But I do, in general, it's good that I'm a therapist, I think. Makes me a better mother.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very cool. It's it's just been a really cool experience to feel myself growing, and even being in a session and just feeling like this completely different, you know, presence that I never had before. So it's been really cool.
Yeah.
So, music therapists out there, get pregnant. No, I'm kidding. You'll be better. Just kidding. Be a parent.
Go through some sort of growth experience. Actually, I think maybe the lesson, and not get pregnant, that's funny, but you know, just I think as part of that I think this whole episode is also part of that self-reflective piece of being a music therapist. Mm-hmm. You know, because there will be times where we have these challenges and these growth experiences, and it's just kind of staying in tune with ourselves and noticing what is changing about ourselves and how is that informing, you know, how we change and shift as a music therapist.
Yes. And that is actually, you know, we're all saying really positive things about that, but it is important. This is another reason why it's really important to just have your own professional reflection time and supervision, because this can really change how you interact with your patients. I mean, what if you had a tricky pregnancy and then you're with patients who didn't have a tricky pregnancy and you're feeling some kind of anger or animosity or jealousy or, you know, right. Things can come up with you now because not just because you had a child, but because you have more experiences. And so it's something to always keep tabs on about yourself to make sure that you're not transferring or counter transferring. And because you know, I always get those goofed up, but you know, that sort of thing can happen.
Right.
That is true. Yeah.
Well, yeah. We've kind of given you some things to think about, but we're going to be sharing some specific tips and advice on this topic over at our premium site, musictherapypro.com. This conversation is only available to the pro community, who also have access to a members-only forum, resource lists, videos, exclusive podcasts, and discounts with select members. CMTE courses are also available to community members at no additional charge. At Music Therapy Pro, we've done the hard work already, and now we're sharing our secrets with you. Join the community at www.musictherapypro.com. All right, so this month's cool resource of the month is just in time for AMTA National Conference. Of course, we all know that it's coming up next month. And music therapist Rachel C. has created an app for that. It's called the AMTA Conference Yap. That's Y-A-P-P. And this app is a must download if you are planning to attend conference. The app includes a forum where you can leave messages, a schedule of events and sessions, and even a list of tweets with the hashtag AMTA13. And I just downloaded the app yesterday, and it is so cool. So I hope you all go and do the same. And we will include a link in our show notes to the app.
I'm going to download mine later today.
Good plan.
Another thing, we want to give out our monthly shout out to our sponsors on Music Therapy Pro. Music Therapy Pro members receive discounts on the following products and services: on music therapy mailing subscriptions, on a social media makeover package from the Mr. and Mrs. Marketing, on the ebooks, Tuneful Teens, Creative Ideas for Engaging Adolescents in Music Therapy, and Sensational Songs and Activities, Sensory-Based Ideas for Music Therapy from Wholesome Harmonies Music Therapy. Music Therapy Pro members also get discounts on A Perfect Lullaby CD, the Music Therapy Research Blog, Boom Totes, woohoo! The Listen and Learn Plus membership, and on the Therapy Business Blueprint ebook.
And a couple of announcements to share. One is this is my little pat on the back moment, because I had an article published in the Journal of Music Therapy and it came out this week. And I'm very excited about it.
We have a rock star.
Yay!
It was a systematic review that I conducted last summer, and it actually stemmed from a class project I did my very first semester in my PhD work. I'm pretty proud of that little study. It was my first one as a PhD student. And, you know, I have other ones in the works now at various stages, but that's my first. So I'm excited. And then also speaking of conference, just wanted to remind you all that we are having a music therapy pro booth at the AMTA conference. So certainly hope that you stop by, come say hi. We'll be doing a podcast recording probably Friday of conference. Time to be announced. And I think, Michelle, you have a couple other things to share about conference. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. While you're at the music therapy pro booth, people just look right beside it and you will see a fantastic booth called Matt and Michelle, because Matt Logan and I are going to have a booth where we can show all of our you know, all those extra things we do and try to sell. So Matt is going to be showing his Lullaby CD, so you can pick that up. And also, he has a guitar website in the works, so you can learn more about that. It is very cool. I got to see it. And that's also where you will be, can come and pick up your boom tote for your boom whackers. So that's the Matt and Michelle booth.
And I'm excited also, to see a booth buddy with Matt again.
Me too.
Yeah, Matt Logan is the best booth buddy. And I'm happy to announce that I am working on a networking workbook. And so there's going to be e-versions and the actual book version that you can buy online and at the booth, the Matt and Michelle booth at conference. And what the networking workbook is it's a series of really easy exercises that you can complete as you prepare for any kind of networking event that you have coming along. So I'll help guide you through preparing for your event, setting your goals, looking at who's going to be there so that you can target your target audience. And this is something that is perfect for the beginning networker or someone who may be feeling a little more introverted and likes to do your prep work beforehand so that we can build up your confidence. And when you're at your event, you'll have less, you know, deer caught in headlight moments. So please look out for that, and you can be up to date with the release of it. It's not out yet, but it'll be out in a couple weeks. But join my newsletter. Go to musictherapytween.com and sign up for my newsletter, and you can find out when you can pick it up so that you can be the first one.
And this month's Sunday success comes from Music Therapy Pro member Laura Barthelman, who writes, "I had another great meeting with a local college about adding a new BA in music therapy program. I may be teaching a special topics intro to music therapy course this spring. Keeping hopeful." That is such exciting news, Laura, and we will be keeping our fingers crossed that this comes to fruition. Thank you for joining us. To read a transcript of the show, go to www.musictherapyroundtable.com, where you will also find links to each of our personal blogs. You can get podcast episodes sent directly to you by subscribing to the Music Therapy Roundtable through iTunes. If you enjoy our podcast, please write an iTunes review. It helps our rankings, which allows us to reach more people like you. If you have a comment or question, email us at info@musictherapyroundtable.com. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll talk again next month.